in. In Isaiah 66 and verse 8, it says, "Can a nation be born in a day?" That's a big question, isn't it? And yet, on May the 14th, 1948, Israel declared itself to be the state of Israel and became a nation. And believe it or not, that is actually something that was foretold in the book of Isaiah. And I'll just turn to that as we enter our study again on prophecy. Prophecy is God telling forth what's going to happen in the future. God is the God who from the beginning gives the end. In Isaiah 46 and verse 9 and 10, that verse is also in the Bible, that God tells in advance. Is there any other God that can tell that a child would be born in 740 years? He would be born in Bethlehem. It would be a boy. He would be born of a virgin. And there's about 300 different prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus, and Jesus fulfills all of them. Are you a mathematician? Do you do permutations and calculations? There's not enough zeros, I don't think, in the universe. But that is what God is able to do. God is the God of impossibilities. And so from Isaiah 66 and verse 8, it says, "Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord." Do you know how impossible that was? The nation of Israel had 19,000 soldiers. They didn't have one cannon. They had 9 old planes. And they had all the nations around about them calling for their demise. And when the dust had cleared, Israel stood. Explain that. In the 67 war, I was in India and flew back to the United States. I was engaged to my wife, and we got married in July. But when I was coming back, I was planning on landing in Israel. But the 6-day war was on. Again, Egypt had armed itself with all the weaponry from Russia, like billions of dollars worth of hardware. But the Lord showed a hole in the radar, and the IAF, Israeli Air Force, flew through that hole in the radar and bombed out all of their planes before they even got off the tarmac. And so the army was out in the desert with no support. And in 6 days, the war was over. And Israel had again expanded its territory and had gained the Golan Heights. They even had the Temple Mount, which they gave back to the Arabs at that time. Think of it. God is supporting the nation of Israel. That's an impossibility, isn't it? And so when we're talking about prophecy, we're looking at a nation. Has a nation ever been born again and become a nation after it's been 2,600 years since they were a nation? I don't think so. They have been controlled by the Gentiles, as there's a statement in the Bible that calls this the time of the Gentiles. And you can read all the different about the different kingdoms that Daniel prophesied about in the Old Testament. The first was the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, then the kingdom of Medo-Persia, then Alexander the Great, and then the Roman Empire. They're all written ahead of time. So if you are a history bug and love history, read these books in prophecy. Well, I that was just kind of a little introduction this morning. As we think of prophecy is both foretelling the future and forthtelling God's word. So just before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus said, this is prophecy again. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now Jesus is going to the cross. How could he say that? I go to prepare a place for you. He's going to be dead the next day. I go to prepare a place for you, speaking to his disciples, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you know that Jesus is really interested in each of us? He said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. Where's that place? Where? The place is in heaven. And he said, and if I go, where is he now? Where is Jesus now? He's in heaven, right? He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus really wants us to be with him? I'm not very special. Why would a mighty God want us little nobodies, really, aren't we, in heaven with him? But he does. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Our series is about God's prophetic promise to Israel. But God has given a prophetic promise to us in the church. And that prophetic promise to us in the church is, I'm coming back. Are you ready? I remember when I was young and I heard about Jesus could eminently come back. That means that any time he could come, there's nothing to stop him from coming. Would you be ready if he came before this service is over? It's that imminent. There's nothing that couldn't happen that would stop him from coming. Anyway, when I was young, I remember there was a gospel quartet that used to go around and sing gospel four. And they sang this song, Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humble your hearts to God. Save from the chastening rod, seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. In fact, when he does come, it will be morning, night, or noon somewhere. The world is round and there's 24 hours. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. The Bible says that the Lord himself will come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. And this goes on in this. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world bye. Homeward we then shall fly, glory to share. I have a friend that paraplegic, and I'm sure that someday when he is fitted out with his amazing new body, he'll be really happy. And all of us, as we get older, we get a few pains now and again, some of us more than others. But Jesus is coming back, and he is he comes back in many ways. If we pass away, if we know the Lord, we'll enter into his presence. And so that's part of his coming, isn't it? He could come for you and not for me. Or he could come for me more likely and not for you, because I'm probably older than you are. Anyway. Okay. So the world is in chaos everywhere. The Bible says that at the time of the soon coming of Christ, there would be wars, rumors of wars, there would be earthquakes. Heard of any earthquakes in Nepal recently, or in Turkey, or in Haiti? I think there was an earthquake in Haiti, if I remember right, because I have a grandson that was released on that after that earthquake. And it talks about storms. It says, the waves roaring, that's in Luke 21. All of these are signs. There will be signs in the heavens, and I just saw where there's supposed to be three blue moons coming, red moons, I guess. But these are phenomena in the skies. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back. There's a Christian fellow. His name is Amir Safadi. He's a born-again Christian Jew. He's looking forward to the rapture. He's part of the church because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is busy in Israel sharing what Christ is doing in that nation. And I just heard him interview a young lady, a Jewish young lady, 20 years old, and he was interviewing this beautiful young lady because she was jammed into a bomb shelter, and October 7th, 2023. A year and something ago, happened, and Hamas found them in that bomb shelter, and there were 40 jammed in there, and of the 40, 30 died, and she was one of them that because of what happened, they didn't find her in the terrible place. And afterwards, Amir said, "Don't you think the reason that you walked away from there alive is God has something for you in your life?" And she said, I am sure that that's true. He said, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And it was about a 2-hour interview. We are looking at a nation, Israel, hasn't been a nation for 2,000 years. And now is a nation. They were led away and went into captivity. And as we have gone into our study and prophecy, we found out that when man sinned, when sin came into the world, and Eve was deceived, and Adam saw what was happening, and he took of the fruit anyway. God said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. God has an intent. He's going to carry out his plan. God always finishes out his plan. And because a man was to carry this mission out, we know that God also chose a family. And that family was Abraham. God chose a family. God gave a special child to an old couple that should not have had any kids. And that was Sarah and Abraham. And to that couple, God gave Isaac. Isaac means laughter. God gave a baby to grandma and grandpa. And no wonder they called him Laughter, because it was kind of humorous. And, you know, what can happen with an old couple is they can have a baby and they forget where they left it. I have trouble finding stuff. I know. Yesterday. Yesterday I found my glove. It was in my garage. Yeah, I thought it was maybe here at the chapel or over at John's place, John, my friend. And it wasn't there, and it wasn't there. And then I came back and lifted up. Oh, there it is. I've done that quite often, actually. Anyway, God gave this couple a son named Isaac. And this son would be their heir. And you can read that in Genesis chapter 12. God made a lot of promises to Abraham. But God also warned them that if they ever turned aside, that there would be some discipline. So God spoke to Moses, and Moses didn't enter the promised land because he lost his cool. And so he wasn't allowed to go into the land of promise. But he told the children of Israel that they would go into this land and that they would enter into houses that they hadn't built. They would farm fruit trees that they hadn't planted. And God was going to bless them. And the land of Israel is called a land of milk and honey. And I had a wonderful trip to Israel. And as we came down near Jericho, our tour bus was hit with a swarm of bees, and we had to stop because the honey was running all over the windshield. It's a land of milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. And Moses said to the children of Israel, this is how you should raise your children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One Elohim, actually, which is a plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words have I commanded you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them. I think this is a wonderful plan for every parent. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hands and shall put them as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your heart and on your house. God was telling them for their families to continue on in the love of the Lord. Parenting is a full-time job. Sounds like it. And that's wonderful because that's all we can take from this world anyway. There's nothing here that we can take with us, but we can take our children with us. Isn't that a good promise? The prophetic promise to the people of Israel was that they could take their children with them. And if you looked in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 21, it says, if you do this and teach your children, it says that God had promised that they would have days of heaven upon earth. Anybody in for that kind of a trip? Days of heaven upon earth with your kids. Kids aren't a problem, it seems, anyway. And as we go through the study of in prophecy, there's a prophetic promise to the nation of Israel. God promised that the land was always to be there. There isn't any negotiation about the land. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18, it tells us that God was giving this land to the Jewish nation, to Abraham and his descendants. And chapter 15 and verse 18, I'll just read that quickly. It says, to your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt. Where's that? Nile River? Yeah. To the great river Euphrates. Where's that? That's already across Iraq. To the great river and the river Euphrates, the Kenzanites and the Canaanites. Well, the Kenzanites and the Canaanites were people that lived in the land of Canaan. And God has mercy on people. Moses' father-in-law was a Canaanite. Yeah, God showed him grace, and we're going to see him someday. And the next name is the Kenzanite. You know who a Kenzanite was? Caleb, one of the spies that went in to the land, to spy out the land. And Moses said, everywhere Caleb, your foot lands, is going to be yours. And so when they went through the wilderness for 40 years, because the people couldn't see them going in to conquer these giants, they spent the 40 years in the wilderness. But when Caleb got finished in the conquest with his fellow partner, Joshua, he came back to him and said, do you remember that promise that Moses made to us and to me? He said that if I put my foot on any place, it would be mine. He said, I want the mountain where all those giants were. I want Horeb. And so, you know that when David fought against Goliath, it didn't say Goliath was from Horeb. It said he was from Gaza. He was a Gath. Yeah. Does that say anything to us today? Who are the Israelis fighting against? Palestinians. Did you know that that's just the old name for Philistines? You didn't know that, did you? Wow. Things haven't changed a lot. But God has promised that, you know, that they are not going to conquer Israel. Not. God says he is going to stand up for them. We know that there's terrible times ahead for Israel. But we know that they are not going to conquer Israel. Another interesting thing is Israel was not faithful to God. As a lot of us can look back and say, you know, I could have done a lot better. And Israel, I certainly could have done a lot better. And when we get 490 years into their occupation of the land, they have to go into captivity. And they had to have a little discipline. God disciplined them because they were worshiping idols. And so in the discipline, God had a bunch of people staying back in Israel. And in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about two baskets of fruit. One basket was rotten fruit. And we don't eat rotten fruit, do we? Well, God had to empty that basket. And he had good fruit. And you know that he sent the good fruit into captivity? Those are the people like Daniel the prophet. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Ezekiel was a prophet that God sent into captivity. But God had some good news for them. Even though they went into captivity, one of the questions that Ezekiel asked God was, are you done? Are you done with Israel? Is this the end of the line for Israel? And God answered that and said, no, it's not. But they were sent into captivity. They had a timeout, 70-year timeout. And they were sent into Israel. You can read about that in Jeremiah chapter 29. It tells of that time out. But when Ezekiel was asking the question of God from Babylon, because he was in captivity, I want to just read a passage from Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 14. And it says, and again the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel is in its entirety, are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said. This is the bad fruit. And they're back in Jerusalem, and he said, although it says, I lost my place. Get far away from the Lord. They're going to their idols. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, thus says the Lord. He's talking to Ezekiel and those in captivity. Although I have cast them far away. They were in Babylon, 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I will be a little sanctuary. What's a sanctuary? God is going to take care of them in captivity. And they are going to be in God's sanctuary and preserved. And I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. You're going to get their land back. And so they were in captivity for that 70 years. And Jeremiah had written his prophecy to them. And he said, behold, I will save you from afar. I need to go one more chapter. Chapter 29 and verse 10, it says, and thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my great word towards you and cause you to be returned to this place, to Israel, for I know the thoughts that I have and think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Lots of Christians take that. That's a beautiful verse. It's a promise. There's a future and a hope for us. But it really was a promise to Israel. It is a promise to us. And we can embrace that God has a future and a hope for us. But then it goes on to say that they, in order to enter into that, let's read a little bit further. It says, then you shall call upon me after they have a future and a hope, and go and pray to me, and I will listen. When we're in the right fellowship with God, he listens to our prayers. He listens to Israel's prayers, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Wow. There's another verse that tells us that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We should pray for the island of Haiti. We should pray because God hears and he answers prayer. So this is a prophetic promise for the nation of Israel. But there are prophetic promises for us. You see, blindness in part happened to Israel. Not all Jews were outside of God's program, and not all of the Jewish people were worshiping idols. And the remnant came back to Israel. And one of the persons that is so interesting in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a zealot Jew. And when he saw Christians, he hated them because they looked like heretics to him. And he could say he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Benjamite, and as touching the law, blameless. He was one of these unbelievable kinds of guys. But he so hated the Jews that when Stephen was stoned, first Christian martyr, guess who held the coats? It was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. His new name was the Apostle Paul. And on the road to Damascus to gain the Christians there and take them back to Jerusalem and put them in prison and get rid of them, Jesus met him. on the road to Damascus. And he arrested him. And when he did, he came in all his glory. And Saul of Tarsus said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And there was a great conversion that day. Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. And he was conscripted into the army of Jesus of Nazareth. There's also a very interesting passage. Spent a lot of time in Romans, but I just want to quickly turn to Romans chapter 1. Because Paul the apostle, was interested in reaching as many of us Gentiles as he could. He planted churches in Thessalonica, in Antioch. He wrote the book to the Corinthian church. There's a city there. And he had all these places that churches had been established, Corinth, Ephesus. And now he wanted to go to Rome. And it says, in verse 13 in chapter 1, "I do not want for you to be ignorant or unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you." See, the Apostle Paul had a plan. And we have a plan here at the church. We want to reach all the boys and girls that we can for Christ. We have a plan. We have a purpose. We had a purpose to reach our community. Paul had a plan. But plan number A didn't work. He had a hindrance, but was hindered until now. I think Satan, the devil, knew that he didn't want Paul in Rome preaching the gospel. And so plan number A goes awry. So the Apostle Paul has a second plan. Second plan is he wrote a letter of Romans, to the church in Rome, so that he also gives a reason for his wanting to reach them in Rome. It says that I might have some fruit among you. People that would turn to Jesus Christ. And he wanted some fruit from the church. He wanted to see people that he had could say, "Yeah, I was in Rome, and I was able to talk to this person who came to the Lord Jesus." Amazing. He went there as a prisoner, and he did have a great ministry from there. So we need a plan. We know that God's going to continue his plan. He sent Jesus. See the seed of the woman? Was Jesus that was coming through the nation of Israel to be born of the Virgin Mary so that he will become the King of Kings and he will straighten out the mess that our world is in today. But Paul is going to reach the Gentiles. And just another couple of points from Paul's message. He said he had a plan. He wanted to have fruit from them. And he said, "I have a debt to pay." He said, I don't deserve to be a Christian. I have a debt to pay. And some of us have debts to pay. We have mortgage. And the way that we get rid of that debt is we put down payments on it every month. We pay. We keep paying to get that debt paid up, right? We all know something about that. Paul had a debt that he could never pay, but he felt the burden of that debt. And that burden of that debt took him to Rome, to Corinth, to Ephesus. And many of you may have people in your family that you want to see come to faith in Christ. You have this debt that you want to pay. And we all have this debt. And we want those little people that have come into our Sunday school and Awana and in youth to come to Christ. And when they do, we are seeing that fruit. And then finally he said, for as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you in Rome. He had good news to share. We have good news to share for people around about us. And then he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. So this is the promised prophecy to Israel, but it's the promised prophecy to us. And I think our time is up, but let's fulfill that. Let's fulfill that debt. Let's go and reach people for Christ. If you're here tonight, today and you don't know Jesus, there's a Roman road, 5 verses that will tell you how to get there. Right? You can't. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he promises to give you the gift of eternal life. We are to repent of our sins and come to Christ. My time is up, but let's just pray. Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul, the persecutor of Christians, and had blood on his hands, became the Apostle Paul. And he had a debt to pay. And we all are so thankful that that in paying that debt, we need to be telling others where the life and where the water of life is in Jesus Christ. Help us, we do pray. And we pray if there's anybody here today who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, oh, they need to do that. You may come back at any moment. And then those who aren't ready will be left behind. Help us to be alert and ready and working and witnessing for you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.